What if the internet, the polished feeds, the curated content, the endless ads, is just the tip of the iceberg? Beneath the surface lies a parallel digital universe where anonymity reigns, freedom is pushed to extremes, and human nature expresses itself without filters. This is the dark net, not some alien realm, but a mirror reflecting our own society with all its creativity, innovation, and darker impulses magnified through the lens of technological freedom. Since its 2014 publication, this exploration has become essential reading in tech circles, cited by figures from Edward Snowden to Elon Musk. The journey takes us through the internet's most innovative and dangerous corners, from trolls and extremists to Bitcoin programmers and webcam performers, revealing how technology transforms human behavior when freed from traditional constraints. As our lives become increasingly digital, understanding these hidden spaces isn't just fascinating, it's necessary. Early ARPANET users discovered something unsettling. Without face-to-face interaction, elite academics became aggressive and confrontational. By 1979, flaming, deliberately provoking strangers, had become celebrated online culture. This evolved into modern trolling on Usenet in the early 1990s, where veterans posted urban myths to expose newcomers. Unlike simple flaming, trolling became prized for its subtlety and prolonged reactions. When 4chan launched in 2003, its enforced anonymity created a perfect environment for increasingly extreme behavior, justified by "I did it for the lulz." When 15-year-old Mitchell Henderson died by suicide, users spotted a grammatical error on his memorial page. For nearly 2 years, anonymous callers tormented his parents about his supposedly lost iPod, even photographing an iPod on his grave. What drives this behavior? The online disinhibition effect. We behave differently when anonymous, invisible, and unaccountable. Without facial expressions and body language, which comprise up to 93% of human communication, we lose the empathetic anchors evolved over millennia. Trolling occupies an ambiguous space between criminality and satire, offering a harsh lesson about our digital vulnerability. The internet has become essential for political extremists denied mainstream visibility. From 1980s Usenet groups to today's social media, far-right organizations have pioneered online organizing. The British National Party's website outdraws major political parties, while Stormfront hosts nearly 300,000 members who've posted 10 million messages. Anders Behring Breivik exemplifies this danger, progressing from computer programmer to mass murderer after radicalization through online blogs about cultural Marxism and Islamic takeover fears. The English Defence League represents a new nationalist wave, welcoming anyone through a Facebook-like rather than formal membership. While UK party membership plummeted from 3 million in the 1950s to under half a million by 2013, the EDL rapidly gained 160,000 Facebook followers. The internet has democratized political participation while enabling echo chambers where people consume only belief-confirming information. In these closed digital worlds, far-right and Antifa groups demonize each other beyond recognition, waging constant warfare through infiltration, monitoring, and harassment. In late 1992, 20 programmers and cryptographers gathered in Oakland, California, forming the cypherpunk movement. These radical libertarians believed networked computing could either enable state surveillance or undermine it through mathematical tools. Their motto: cypherpunks write code. Julian Assange, known as Prof on their mailing list, was a gifted Australian programmer whose anti-government stance stemmed from his 1991 arrest for hacking. He saw crypto as a tool to expose state secrets, leading him to create WikiLeaks in 2006. But the movement's most revolutionary contribution came from Satoshi Nakamoto, who in early 2008 posted a proposal for Bitcoin. Satoshi solved the centralization problem through blockchain, a chronological public ledger maintained by everyone running the software. This ensured digital currency could be transferred but never duplicated without a central authority. Libertarians embraced Bitcoin because it removed control of money supply from the state, with Satoshi capping Bitcoin at 21 million units to prevent government manipulation. Following Edward Snowden's 2013 revelations about NSA surveillance, cypherpunk's technologies went mainstream. The cypherpunk's warnings about the surveillance state proved prescient. The first online drug transaction occurred in 1972 when Stanford students sold marijuana to MIT counterparts using the ARPANET. The real revolution began with Silk Road in 2013, which by July 2013 had processed over $1.2 billion in sales with 4,000 vendors serving 150,000 customers worldwide. The site featured sophisticated security, Tor browser access, Bitcoin payments, pseudonymous accounts, PGP encryption, and auto-deleting messages. The true innovation wasn't anonymity, it was user reviews. Just as 88% of UK online shoppers rely on reviews, drug buyers depend on detailed feedback about shipping, quality, and service. This reputation system creates consumer protection previously non-existent in street markets, where quality varies wildly and contamination can be deadly. Despite the October 2013 Silk Road bust, the market exploded. By April 2014, there were more markets selling three times more products. Darknet markets transformed drug buying into a consumer-friendly experience with competitive pricing and quality assurance. While they won't end drug problems, they reduce supply chain violence and improve product quality by eliminating street dealers. Quality webcams and broadband have democratized adult entertainment, enabling performers like Vex to earn substantial income from home. Chatterbait automatically notifies her 60,000 fans when she goes live, illustrating the shift from traditional studios to independent creators. Webcamming's appeal lies in its authenticity. Shows blend pornography with casual intimacy, complete with mistakes, conversation, and pets wandering into frame. This unpolished realism offers a healthier alternative to mainstream pornography, though the relationship remains fundamentally transactional. The darknet's most disturbing spaces, pro-anorexia communities, are shockingly accessible through simple Google searches. These sites host tens of thousands of members, forming deep connections through shared experiences they can't discuss elsewhere. They function as comprehensive social networks centered on weight loss encouragement, featuring thinspiration galleries of extremely thin celebrities with captions like, "Waking up thinner is worth going to bed hungry." What makes these communities so destructive is their supportive nature. Wrapping negative behavior in positive, romantic packaging transforms illness into lifestyle choice, making unhealthy behaviors appear normal and even desirable. Technology amplifies power and freedom, our capacity to transcend limitations or to oppress and control. The darknet magnifies both creative and destructive impulses. Trolls expose our cruelty when accountability vanishes. Extremist forums show how echo chambers radicalize ordinary people. Cypherpunks demonstrate ingenuity in protecting privacy. Drug markets reveal entrepreneurial spirit even in illicit transactions. The technology itself isn't the problem. It amplifies existing human tendencies. The darknet doesn't create new behaviors. It removes the friction that normally constrains them. Without social norms, legal consequences, or face-to-face accountability, our behaviors shift dramatically. The darknet isn't disappearing. It's growing and influencing mainstream digital culture. In this mirror, we see humanity reflected back, beautiful and ugly, creative and destructive, seeking connection even in the darkest corners. The question isn't whether we'll engage with these spaces, but whether we'll learn from them before their lessons become too costly to ignore.